Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee was founded in 2014 by Ed and Courtney Lemix alongside their son, Brett. The delicious DeLuna blends are a product of Ed's discerning palate for the finest coffee beans on the planet, and Brett's business acumen has them on the national radar for quality. Savor the simplicity of Graffiti Bridge, 100% Colombian beans roasted to a city roast for optimal flavor. Ed and Brett are both FSU alums and are extending a special offer to our listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up!
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! WarChant.com is your ultimate seminal sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Azan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
What's up, everybody? Welcome on into Wake Up WarChant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. DeLunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. Did you know DeLuna Coffee, folks, is available in Publix, that shopping place, grocery store that everybody in Florida and Alabama and North Carolina, Georgia, wherever they're at, you probably go to. From I-4 up to Pensacola in Florida, you can find their Voodoo, Blue Angels, and Midnight Shift. But, you know, if you go to DeLunaCoffee.com and put the promo code WARCHANT15, you'll save 15%. So, you know, we're here trying to help you. We being myself and Corey Clark, we're for WARCHANT.com. Ultimate Seminal Sports Source, hit the thumbs up button, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. Corey, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. How are you doing? Sounds like you could use a little DeLuna Coffee.
No, man, I don't. I just want to go to sleep. I don't want to be awake. That would be the
antithesis. What a great way to start the show.
Yeah. How was your night out with Brady, man? Tell everybody about it.
Went to the Braves game. Did you see my tweet?
I did not. I've not checked Twitter. How is it?
So, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, he has some stuff happen to him. So we get to the game. We get there really early so we can watch batting practice. He loves a couple guys on the Blue Jays. So I'm like, all right, man, go ahead. I'm going to get a Diet Coke. Go out. I'll meet you out in left field because he's going to go try to catch some home run balls. I get out there probably 2 minutes after he does, maybe 120 seconds, 180 seconds after he does. And I say, hey, Brady. And I don't say it like that. Like I've never seen him before. It's like, Brady, I'm here. And he turns around and in his glove, he goes, I caught a home run ball. And he's got a ball in his glove.
Nice.
And I'm like, come on, man. No, you didn't. I don't know why I'm like this, but I just don't believe him most of the time. And he's not even a kid that lies a lot. He'll exaggerate, but he doesn't just flat out make up stuff. But I'm like, come on, man. Did a player throw that to you? He goes, no, I caught it. And I just didn't believe him because of he was like under an overhang above the bullpen. And it's like that's a tough one to get to. And so I'm like, all right, it's awesome that you got a ball. That's cool. But I still, in my heart of hearts, was like, you didn't reach over the bullpen railing and catch a home run ball. And then 2 minutes later, this man is walking up the aisle with his son. And he comes over to Brady and goes, dude, that was a great catch, and fist bumps him. Like unsolicited. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess Brady did reach over and catch a home run ball 400 feet away. So that's cool. And then we got some pretty good seats near home plate. So in that area that you have access to this little club area where you can get some, you know, food and whatnot. So I told Brady, I'm like, hey man, go throw this stuff away. The stuff we'd already eaten at our seats. And he's like, I don't think there's a trash can up there. I'm like, well, go take it somewhere. Just get it out of here. Be nice to the lady that's bringing us food. And he's gone for like 7 or 8 minutes. And I'm like, this is a little too long. So I assume he went back inside and was eating pizza, just gobs of pizza because I are in brownies. But he comes back and he goes, hey, I just met Chipper Jones. And I go, dude, I love you no matter what. You don't have to make up stuff. Like, I didn't even think Chipper Jones would be at the game. And sure enough, the little brat has a picture of him and Chipper Jones on his phone. And if you go to my Twitter feed, Corey, whatever it is, I think it's _Clark. And I tweeted the picture. He said that Chipper was like, yeah, man, we can do it, but I'm in a hurry. I got to go. And so Brady got flustered with that. And he took a picture. And it's a blurry picture where it's almost like a Bigfoot sighting, where it's like he got Chipper kind of walking behind him in a blur, and Chipper's kind of turned towards the camera. It's a really funny picture. And it just, like I tweeted, it's like, I don't know if my kid's going to be the next Dos Equis guy. Like, what 12-year-old goes to throw something away and then ends up with a selfie with a Hall of Famer? That's and has the I don't know, the wherewithal to say, hey, can I take a picture real quick? And then snaps one that's, I don't know. It's a goofy kid, man. Can't wait to see what he ends up doing in his life. But so that was a fun night. Braves lost because they always lose when I watch them, but that's just par for the course.
There we go.
Since last time we hung out, I think Andrew Parchman was already official, having enrolled. But they did get Dylan Gibbons, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So he played guard most of his time in Notre Dame. I would imagine that's what he's being brought to Florida State to do. I don't think it's really a depth move per se, but I mean, there's some guys that I think we kind of felt okay about at guard, but this perhaps is an upgrade. So they're staying busy, and apparently they might even have one scholarship left, which I don't even want to try to figure out how this all works anymore, because like we so authoritatively were like, yeah, I only got one scholarship left. And I was like, well, you know, they might actually have one more left. But what do you think about that Dylan Gibbons kid? You excited for that one, Corey? Is this, you know, Devontae Love Taylor's probably still going to say a tackle then if this kid plays guard. I guess the ideal was to, you know, super upgrade your guard spot by letting Love Taylor play on the inside. Although everyone says that, but man, he played tackle at FIU. He played tackle at Florida State and did well. I don't really know why we want to move him there, but that's the hubbub. But anyways, they got a Power 5 transfer. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they got a guy from a offensive line factory. You know, it's there's some healthy skepticism there because he's the fifth-year senior that was so apparently down on the depth chart that even after a whole slew of offensive linemen at Notre Dame leave, he's been recruited and passed over and was not going to start again. He played 120 snaps last year. He started one game. He graded out okay, nothing exceptional. But then again, Florida State's offensive line can use some okay. It can use some, you know, solid, not spectacular. You know, that's a step up at a couple of positions. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's a nice move. It's a good, I don't even know if it's a depth move. It gives you more depth, whether he ends up starting or not. I assume he's certainly in line to start, whether it's at tackle or guard. But you got an offensive lineman from Notre Dame that should upgrade the position. Even if it makes one of those guys have to, you know, like we talk about with the iron and iron all the time, even if it makes one of the other guys have to really bust their butt to become to beat them out, you're still going to, your offensive line still seems to be in a better place today than it was 4 days ago. But he is not Walter Jones. He is not the equivalent of even like Jermaine Johnson on the offensive side of the ball. This was a kid that was not going to start at Notre Dame, had never really started at Notre Dame, was like the scout team offensive lineman of the year. So you're not getting, who was the guy that, Quentin Nelson. Mm. Quentin Nelson didn't transfer to Florida State.
Mike McGlinchey.
This is a guy that, this was a guy that was not going to play at Notre Dame, but still, you know, that doesn't mean he can't play and be good at Florida State. Notre Dame has some dudes that can really play, we assume. And also, hey, he might know a few tidbits. Mm. For the season opener, right? Have a little inside knowledge of what they're running. He could be like Florida State's Damian Craig.
There we go.
In that season opener. And you know, the receivers at Notre Dame's like, hey, what's his name again?
Dylan Gibbons.
Dylan knows our plays. And they're gonna have to get the towel boys up and throw the towels up. All that could happen, man. So even if it's just to get inside knowledge for that season opener, it could pay off in a big way.
Craig knows our plays. Like, Gib knows our plays, man. Gib knows our plays. There was something else I wanted to add on to that. But, yeah, you know, hey, it's May. This is what's going to happen. You know, there was Quentin Nelson's not going to enter the portal right now. You know, first team, all-conference guy is not going to enter the portal right now. And if he is, I don't know if – probably won't be a good culture fit. You know, it's all about family and fit at Florida State now with Mike Norvell.
Right.
So it's more than just how you can produce.
But, I mean, when you think about a program you could get somebody from, that ain't a bad one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're not going to get a starter from Notre Dame or a starter from Ohio State, you wouldn't think. But getting a guy that's been in that program for 4 years, just by osmosis, and he's a big dude, like he looks the part. That to me is that could be a nice addition. Again, he's not the Jermaine Johnson of the offense. All the other transfers that they brought in played a good bit of football in their careers. This guy hasn't, but that doesn't mean he can't come up and be a solid contributor.
I was gonna say maybe he won't be. Maybe he's intimidated at Notre Dame. Like all these guys he's playing alongside, he's like, dang man, I just don't belong here. Like I'm not good enough. and maybe being here, cross some new bodies. He'll be like, hey, man, like, all right, I'm the dude again. Back at
CCC. I can
play
at this level.
Yeah, okay. It's my days of being a marauder. All right, let's get to some of these questions. We'll do two more shows. Well, actually, one more show, including, well, not including, so we'll do one more show after this for the week where we'll get to the remainder of these Renegade Express questions. We'll try to spread some of these out. But nonetheless, let's begin down in Naples. It's Mark, everybody. He says, wake up! It's been an awesome week with baseball beating Notre Dame. Correct. And then we get one of their offensive linemen who looks like a monster who can contribute right away. And I'm loving the Norvell Youth Clinics. I think it's a brilliant way to establish an early connection with youth in Florida. Let's face it, most have these kids and their parents haven't seen great things from FSU football in recent years. I just hope Odell doesn't have to make my son do push-ups when I take him to the Fort Myers event May 20th. Yeah, watch out. Odell's out there making kids do push-ups. There's accountability. It's a real thing.
Dang right.
I'm super pumped that my older son, the one with the 3 handicap, or at least had a 3 handicap 4 months ago, is attending the Leonard Hamilton basketball camp in June. He is pumped as well. He gets a current or former FSU player as his counselor and coach for the week. Which player would you like to see him get as a coach and why? Oh, and Dad Corner update. I've had some talks with him. That's his son, the 3 handicap. And he's committed to some golf camps and practicing again this summer. I'm going to put him on military-type schedule. Go Noles. Appreciate you guys very much. All right, there we go. There you go,
John
Mark.
John Pott. Just have him hit 800 balls a day. Doesn't have to be 900. Doesn't have to be crazy. Just 700 or 800. Just get loose. Yeah, Brady's done the Leonard Hamilton camp and is, in fact, doing it again this year, too. He had MJ Walker last year, or 2 years ago, I guess, because there wasn't one last year, and loved it. I would say Matthew Cleveland. He seems like a good kid that'll probably play in the league one day. And I think that's always fun to say these guys aren't Nick Nurse. They're not dressing up in suits for these scrimmage games, coaching the 12 and 13 year olds and really into it that much. But it is cool for them to work with the kids a little bit. Any of them are going to be nice. Wyatt Wilkes would be good too, I think. Yeah. But if you're talking about somebody that you know is going to be in the league, I think Matthew Cleveland probably has the best bet maybe of this incoming crew. So maybe try to get on his squad.
Yeah, I like the Wyatt Wilkes pick. Like, just hang out with the shooter, just figure out how to get 3-and-D guys. Be a 3-and-D guy. It's a pathway to a lucrative career. That's where you want to be at.
You guys know I have a fondness for the basketball program, but Brady, whatever, I think he was 11 at the time, maybe 10. He might have been 10. And MJ was really great with him. And then Raekwon Gray, he struck up a sort of Brady thought it was a friendship with Raekwon. They hung out and talked for a few minutes, and Raekwon put him on his Instagram, and they shot around a little bit. And then Brady saw them before a game last year, before COVID hit. And he went up to him just an hour before the game, just warming up. And both of them saw Brady and were like, hey, man, what's up? And came over and slapped hands with him, dapped him up. And that just goes a long way for a dad. They don't know Brady Clark. They don't care about Brady Clark. But just to be that nice to a kid these guys do such a good job with that. Most Florida State athletes, I just have more interactions with the basketball players. And they just genuinely seem to understand what role they can play. And it was just really cool to see. So hopefully your son has experiences like that.
Yeah, sad thing is this whole time I'm kind of like, not picking my brain, but I'm like, I wonder who I would like really want to be my coach. And it's like, well, Raekwon's gone.
Yeah.
Like Balsha's gone.
Sadar's gone.
Everybody's gone. Everybody done left. It's like
maybe the kid from Kentucky.
I'm Will Smith in the living room. Well, yeah, Cameron Fletcher or whatever is that his name?
Yeah. Maybe he'll. I'm sure
Houston,
he's gonna be a good
the Houston guy. Who's a Houston guy?
Caleb Mills. Yeah.
There we go.
That's not a bad one either. That guy. Yeah, man. Maybe that might be the best one because that dude, he shoots from all different angles. He might be able to teach all these kids how to be 20-point scorers because that guy just is a bucket. So if you want your kid to be a bucket, I know you want him to be a scratch golfer and be on the PGA Tour. But if that doesn't work out, he could maybe be a good basketball player. Caleb Mills be right down that alley there for him.
In unrelated news, Florida State did play a baseball game on Tuesday evening, but it was rained out, it was suspended. So they're going to resume play. They're going to try to resume play Wednesday at noon. And So how does this work? So they got a runner on second with one out, Florida Gulf Coast. It's the top of the fifth. Florida State's up 2-1. Does the count remain the same?
Yeah, it's all the same. And what's crazy is I'm pretty sure what bothers me sometimes is you'll see these games that are suspended in like the eighth inning when a team's up 3-1. It's like, well, I thought, what happened to it's an official game?
Right.
Like if they played five innings and it's an official game, then if you call the game in the eighth inning, it's called. Don't suspend it. It's over. Whoever was ahead won. But my point being, if they'd have gotten two more outs, they probably just would have called that an official game and it would have counted as a win. They did that to Florida Gulf Coast a couple years ago. They got like a five-inning, one-run win because a deluge came and the field got so soggy. So, everything goes back to exactly how it was when it was suspended.
I wonder if did Carson Montgomery start that game? I should have looked into that. I wonder. I mean, obviously he's not going to be back out there, but I wonder.
No, it was not Carson Montgomery. I wish you wouldn't have said anything. Okay. I would have. Oh, it was Ahern. Ahern started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, let's go, Tyler.
And Logan Lacey hit a home run to dead center, so he definitely doesn't want that game to be canceled. He wants that home run to count.
Oh, man, yeah. Kwiatkowski was on when the game got suspended. All right, yeah, so that's a noon. So get yourself a little matinee.
Oh, that's good news too, right? Because he was hurt. He had been out. I think Kwiatkowski had been out for a bit, so that's good. The good that he's back on the mound.
Yeah, all they had was Scolaro coming out of the pen for a lefty, so that's another option. It's good. It's good. Hopefully, we'll figure out more about this hosting stuff later on this week. Maybe we'll have it for our next show. Nonetheless, we persevere. We progress on. Progress on. XDQ004. Way up. Gentlemen, as we enter into the dog days of summer, you're right, man. 116 days until the football game. 116. So we'll probably at least have, 78 more shows.
No,
83 more shows.
No, you got to take into account all the weekends that we're not going to be doing it. So you're right. I'd probably say 70. Right at 70.
All right. No stone left unturned. I was wondering. XCQ004 says, "Oh, I shouldn't even read this. If the Brain Trust at War Chant have given any thought to doing more War Chats, I know that was more of a filler because of the pandemic, but I thought they were very well done." I would love to see you do one with Bobby or Mickey and let them pick the game. I feel two a year, June and July would do. All right, there we go. That's all right. Okay, I'm cool with that. Do two a year, June and July would be just fine. Tell Gene to give it some thought. Okay, yeah, that's cool. That'd be perfect. My question this week.
Go ahead. Sorry.
There you go.
I was just going to say, I think it would be cool to actually watch the game with them. Like, you know how they, you can, on YouTube, there'll be people like, somebody react, teens react to Billie Eilish and nonsense like that.
Right.
And you see the people's faces as they're watching the game and they're talking. It would be cool for the three of us, Gene, myself, and Chris Winkie, to be watching the Virginia Tech National Championship game together. Not all 3 hours and 3.5 hours of it, but like the cut-up version. So 25 minutes of us watching and we can pause it and Winky can say, this was the call. This is what we were thinking right here. This is what I saw. I think that would be awesome. But yeah, that's not something you do every week, but I don't even know I don't think we're allowed those kind of rights. So it wouldn't end up
Thank
happening.
Thank God
so.
We're not. You know, long
Come on,
that,
don't
good,
be like that. Words. You think about how many views, buddy, how many views you're talking thousands upon thousands. People would love that forever.
Let's start winning football games and I'll do all the video you want. We'll do pregame. We'll like on the Monday press conference. I will do videos of us waiting for like Mike Norvell to get to the podium. Like, I'll do videos of everything. Like, let them start
How
winning.
How crazy
football
is
games.
That going to be to talk to people in person again?
That's
like Ira got to
That's
do that.
Zoom for life, son. Zoom for life. I ain't leaving.
Ira
house.
Got to do that this weekend in South Florida, talking to those coaches in person. And I would think we're going to get to talk to Meat in person at some point. But also, certainly by next
Why
August.
Why did you say like Meat? You're like dang it, we've been overdue.
Well, because like he's the one that's in season right now when, you know, people are getting vaccinated and things are going back to normal and there's going to be mostly full capacity everywhere. Yeah. It just seems like, you know, we could talk to him in the dugout at least.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Something, even if we're not inside, we could talk to him in the dugout, which is how they used to do interviews after games anyway. So the point being, we're going to be back to talking to people in person soon too, Aslan. How about that?
We get to and it's not as awkward when you interrupt somebody in real life as it is when you're in Zoom, you know?
Right. Right. Or John, or when you're, you know, you're talking to John Pock and he can't hear you because your wireless is terrible.
Supposedly I have double the power of my internet in this new place, but I don't believe it. But we'll see. We haven't done anything that's really overextended my internet, but nonetheless. Yeah, we'll see. We'll get you a word chat or two. Bobby or Mickey, that'd be cool. Especially Mickey just spitting seeds the whole time. Bobby, I wonder what game do you think they would pick? For Bobby, I'll set the over under at 1993. Like, do you think he would take a game before 93 or after 93?
I would hope he'd do one before. I think that would be fun to hear him, like, remember the 1982 or 1981 Notre Dame game or Ohio State game or something like that, or the 80 Florida game. He's obviously an elderly man now, but I bet there's some stuff in there that he still really remembers. I guarantee you he remembers more from a 1982 game than he does from a 2009 game, just like I remember more from a 1993 game than I do that nonsense we had to watch the last couple of years. So I'd say pre-1993. I think that'd be fun.
Let's see here. Do you think Mickey's game would be a game against Florida, or would you take the field?
Ooh. The Florida game in 98 where they didn't give up, I think Florida didn't get a first down in the second half. It was the game that they got where Rooster played. Well, Peter Warwick won in the game in the defense, but Altson got a lot of praise for it. But that game where it was 23-12, and I legitimately think Florida went like 0-for-13 on third downs or 1-for-13 and got like two first downs in the second half. I think he would love to talk about that. He always loved beating Spurrier and just dominate. Like, they had no chance, whoever that quarterback was for Florida. Either that one, or somebody brought this up last week, I think, that Kansas game where they had the 12-play goal line stand.
Yeah.
He'd probably, if he was going to talk about a single moment, I think he would talk about that one. Because they still think, you know, the defense was supposed to be the weakness of that team going into 93. You know, they lost Marvin off that 92 team. Derek Brooks was just a sophomore, I think, or maybe just a junior. Yeah, he was just a junior, but only second year play. Anyway, they had some question marks on that defense going into 93. And for them, in a game they knew they were going to blow Kansas out, it didn't really matter. It was 107 degrees in the Meadowlands on AstroTurf, and those dudes played 12 straight plays or 11 straight plays or whatever it was and kept them out of the end zone. They think that set the tone for the whole season. So I'm sure he'd love to talk about that. Man, that was 27 years ago. 28. Oh, Aslan, what are we doing? I was in Cancun with my dad for that game. Watching
in the Meadowlands?
We were in Cancun.
Like Kansas? Like, we're going to put Florida State in Kansas in New Jersey.
Bizarre, right? Like, why Kansas? Like, I think Kansas had been pretty good a couple years before that, maybe. But yeah, because I think they had the head coach that took the job at Georgia,
Glenn Mason.
And then went back on it, Glenn Mason, and then stayed at flipping Kansas. But they weren't. Yeah, they had a tough schedule. Florida State did, but that was a weird one to schedule at that time. Though you just wanted to be on national TV where everybody could see you, and they thought it'd be a good way to start word time in Canada.
Man, how much this sport has changed. You're sitting here talking about a guy who chose to stay at Kansas over going to Georgia. Doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Would we need to have subtitles for Mickey's episode?
Nah, I don't think so. I think if you were listening to him on the sidelines, you might. But I think he'd be – he talks slow when he's talking about things typically.
Right.
I remember those interviews, the press conferences. He really kind of talked slow and methodically but on the, you know, obviously on the sideline, you couldn't repeat half the stuff he said anyway. But if he was going really, he was like Jimbo on the sidelines.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Old Mickey. Pride of Ozark, Alabama, if I'm not mistaken. I think I
definitely somewhere in Alabama.
I don't think so. That's Charles Kelly. How to get those two confused.
Oh, no.
My question this week as we remain with XCQ.
You better duck under a table. Duck under a table because the lightning's about to strike your new house.
No, I think he might be from the... I'll check it after I ask you this question and let you explain it. XCQ004's question. Your favorite FSU bowl win that was not a national title?
Mine, just because of when it happened in my life, is pretty immediate, and it's the Sugar Bowl against Auburn, because Deion was my all-time favorite player, and his very last play as a college player is intercepting a pass in the end zone to preserve a win. That's my Reggie Slack, I think, threw it. That's my all-time favorite bowl win. What's yours? Champs Bowl?
Favorite one that wasn't a national title game.
Those Nebraska games were always fun too. Yeah. The Fiesta Bowls, those were fun.
The Michigan one was pretty cool. That's very recency bias. Did we win any bowl games when I was in school? I mean, I went to the Sugar Bowl, we lost that one. Went to the Orange Bowl, we lost that one. Right. We won the Gator Bowl, like in 01, like cool. Bowden's last one. I was at Bowden's last bowl game. I'll take or last
and
game. And
that's
period.
A good one.
I'll take
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that almost should count as like a chance. That's such a special event. That's yeah. Not like I was just thinking kind of a random bowl. Yeah, that's a good one. I still think I would say Deion just because I was 13 at the time and not whatever I was then 30 in my mid 30s. Yeah. So it was a little more special to a kid in middle school. But that's the Bowden one's really good. That's a really good one, especially because it seemed like. I thought West Virginia was going to win by 100.
Yeah, it did not start well at all. It was not.
And then it was like they thought, I can't remember the name of that coach.
Bill Stewart.
Bill Stewart it was like he was being the Washington Generals. Like, we got to let Bowden win this one. it was just the most bizarre. They stopped running the ball, and Florida State kind of dominated the second half of that game. And Florida State didn't dominate anyone that year.
Oh. And that was, I remember the tailgate was miserable because it was like raining and cold. Yeah. But then, the sun came out like in the second half, and then, the good guys prevailed. It was great. XDQ004's pick, the fifth quarter and the French quarter.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was, I think that was 23-17. Florida State beat Florida. Got up 17-0, so they had run off like, I think it was 17-0 or 10-0 maybe. They had scored like, as I dare say, 38 unanswered against the Gators going back to the fourth quarter of the regular season finale. Yeah, that was a good one too. It's always, it's always fun to beat, it's always fun when you're a Florida State fan to beat Florida. Now, the rematch they had 2 years after that was a pretty bad one. That was a tough one for Florida State fans.
Well done, XCQ. That was a good unit. I don't think we've broached that question. Everyone, favorite game, but like that's lots of. I like it. We're getting into that, that Bob Uecker, little big league or major league, scene where it's like, he's batting 378 against lefties on Mondays when it's at least 82 right. degrees out. So it's like we're really hammering down, and we're getting. That was a good one. I like that one. GSO Noel, guys, another week closer to football games that matter. Well, there's been FCS ball. Was a national title game was last week, I think.
Who won?
I think South Dakota State.
Okay,
I'll double check that after I ask you this question.
Even without what's his name?
No, that's North Dakota State. The Jackrabbits won. North Dakota State, the Bison. Yeah, Trey
confused.
Lance.
Yeah, that's right. Got him confused. I get my Dakotas confused.
You're not the first. Certainly won't be the last. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to football games that matter and talking about reality versus what ifs. Yeah, you and I both. Looking forward to it. I've heard both of you mention over the past year with the dissatisfaction of the ACC conference in terms of how it's been run, whether it's commissioner issues, revenue gap, ACC network, etc., and the value that the ACC puts on football versus, well, the SEC, really. At times, you have both mentioned the desire to move to either a super conference or some other version, in my view of the ACC, with Texas, Oklahoma, TCU, parentheses, really? Question mark. I can see why that option could be more attractive than the current state. My question, though, is as we look forward with the implementation of NIL, name, image, and likeness, and the likely expansion of the playoffs, would FSU be better served by trying to be the dominant team in one of the Power Fives like Clemson has done recently versus being one of several strong SEC teams? If not, maybe we can just propose a trade. FSU to the SEC, the ACC can take Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Two-for-one special. In at least Kentucky's case, they align closer with the ACC vibe.
Well, look, no, you definitely would want to be in the SEC if you could. Like, there's no question, but that's obviously not a realistic proposition. It's not going to happen. But you would definitely want to be there. The money is just overwhelming. And, you know, the tide's lifting all ships. And if you're in the East, you know, that's not exactly murderer's row.
Right.
You play Florida every year anyway, so it's just you're adding Georgia and some other teams you can beat. So it's not the end of the world to be in the SEC East, but that's not going to happen. Hopefully the money situation can be sort of evened out at some point, but that doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon either.
You think people with Clemson, well, they're not doing it now, but I wonder what percentage of Clemson fans, when Dabo comes, you know, back to orbit and trails off, at some point, I imagine. Like, if he'll get the, well, you know, man, Florida State wasn't really all that good when Dabo was kicking everybody's rear end, and South Carolina was down, so does it really matter that we were beating South Carolina? Like, I wonder how they'll judge him.
No, I think the difference, though, there is he's not really judged on what he does in the ACC or even against South Carolina. He's beaten Alabama.
Yes,
you know what I mean? He beat some good Ohio State teams. Like, he's done it against other teams too, not just taking advantage of the like Jimbo. Jimbo didn't just take advantage of Florida and Miami being down. That might have been why he got better recruits, because
took advantage of it.
It wasn't just like that's all he did. Sorry, that's not all he did, was just beat Florida and Miami. I don't think people like yeah, you beat them, but they weren't any good. That still matters. You still beat him, and you
say that, though.
Yeah, but you can't. He made Florida State the most appealing school in the state, clearly, and crushed those fools in recruiting. I don't think Dabo will get much grief. To answer your question, I don't think Dabo will get Jimbo type grief. Like, sure, you won the ACC a lot, but it's because Florida State was down. He's like, yeah, but I won national championships too, and I beat Alabama
twice.
I beat Tua. Yeah. I don't think he's going to get penalized for any of that. I was thinking, though, all that talk about changing conferences, whenever, was that like a decade ago now? Are we 10 years removed from that? Like, or close to it, like Florida State and the Big 12 and all that stuff?
Feel like it, yeah. Yeah, it was 2011, 2012, somewhere around there, I feel like.
Because the one thing that I kept coming back to, I know people hate the ACC, and heaven knows I make fun of it a lot, and I still can't get over what's going on that flagship show on the network. But, man, imagine being a Maryland fan. Like a Maryland basketball fan, like a Scott Van Pelt. You grew up loving Maryland, and you grew up hating Carolina and Duke and NC State. Like, those were the rivalries that matter. And now you got to hate Minnesota and Purdue.
Rutgers.
Like, in Rutgers, who cares? You have no rivalries anymore. Florida State would have gone out to the Big 12, and man, what are you going to go to, Waco?
Come on.
You're going to go to Ames?
Come on, man.
Like,
my super conference, if it came to fruition, man, you're playing Oklahoma and Texas, and, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a super conference, though. I'm saying changing out, playing NC State in North Carolina and Wake, actually on the Eastern Seaboard where your fans can go attend, to go into dusty-ass Stillwater or Lubbock. Yuck. Yeah, and for what? Like in the Maryland thing, I was just thinking about that. Like, yeah, they make more money in the Big Ten, a lot more money. What's that done for their football program? Zilch.
Done for their basketball program.
Because they're Maryland.
Program.
You know, that too. Yeah, it did nothing for them. They're making a lot of $10 million a year more and doing absolutely, as far as I can tell, nothing with it. I think they're good at women's basketball. I mean, they're still good there.
Maybe
but
lacrosse.
Yeah, that's probably crushing lacrosse. By the way, congratulations. I was watching the ACC Network earlier on Tuesday. And I didn't realize this. The North Carolina women won the field hockey national championship. Their coach was being interviewed on Packer and Durham. So congratulations to them. I believe that was their 11th one in school history, which is tied for the most in the country. So congrats to them. Great, great season.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I mean, Florida State just cares so much about football. Even if you threw us in the Big Ten and made us have to eat West Lafayette and, I don't know, you know, Minneapolis, like, golly, can you just imagine, like, Ann Arbor every other year? Columbus every other year.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
You know, Lincoln awesome. Every other year.
I would be all for that.
You know, Madison every other year. We are literally in the worst. We are the worst football. I mean, if you love and live and die with football, this is the worst Power Five.
I know what you're saying because it's not the least talented.
No.
It's not the worst teams. But when you're talking about fan bases and going to stadiums and feeling like a college football atmosphere, there aren't a lot of Michigans and Ohio's. There aren't any. It's Clemson. Miami for one game a year, one game every 2 years. Sorry, that's Florida State. Nobody else really, really, really cares. Virginia Tech too, but it's Virginia Tech. It's Blacksburg, and they haven't really been good in a decade. They haven't been nationally relevant in 2 decades. So it's Clemson. It's Clemson and Florida State. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
But hey, we'll make the best of it. We're gonna run.
Hey, they have you. Hey, well, 3 national championships, man. Since they joined this conference.
I was thinking about this earlier in the day. I'm trying to think how I can ask it now on the podcast, but like, has Virginia had the best run in the ACC the last 5 years or Clemson? I mean, Clemson is a football. I'm talking like overall, like when you take a College World Series win and a NCAA national.
The basketball?
Yeah.
No, I still think the two, was it two or three? How many is Dabo on? Two?
Two, yeah, because Deshaun and Trevor, right?
Yeah, two and almost three. I still say, obviously, the two football championships trump the basketball and baseball, but that's cool for Virginia to be national champions in both those sports. But by the way, speaking of not football sports, the FSU women's golf team, Aslan, you've been paying attention to them. They're in first place in their regional with one more round to go today. So if they got to finish in the top five, and if they finish in the top five, which I don't want to jinx them, but they should finish in the top five because they're in first place right now. If they do that, then they advance to the national championship, I assume, next week at some point.
All right. Very well. Very well. All right. Well, I'm going to put a bookmark in this. We got a couple other questions. But we'll save that for the finale this week. You can head over to the Tribal Council, warchant.com, post your question. We'll get to it on the next show. Not exactly sure when it is, but do go to warchant.com. Anyhow, even if you don't want to post a question, and read Corey's story, the exit interview series, spearheaded by our own Irish Schofel, quarterbacks. You're talking about quarterbacks, huh, Corey?
Talking about quarterbacks, talking about the comings and goings of the quarterback room, how much better it all is. I throw in a little Chubba mystery in there, what the mysterious Chubba Purdy and what his future might be at Florida State. But, overall, kind of one of the categories is trending. Which way is it trending? And clearly the quarterback position is significantly, exponentially better than it was this time a year ago. You think about where they were this time, especially in hindsight, Aslan.
Yeah.
What they had last year at this time. Chuba hadn't even been on campus. Your three quarterbacks were Blackman, Rodemaker, a true freshman, and Jordan Travis, who had never really thrown a pass that mattered in a college game. That's what you had going into August.
Right.
And now you think about what you got going into August. You've got 4 guys that have started a game, 2 guys that are competing for the job because they've proven to be pretty darn good, another guy in Chuba that looked pretty good for the second half against NC State before he, you know, shut it down again. And yeah, there's some talent, there's some experience. You just feel so much better about that position than you did. I mean, last year, you think about that. Golly, it was James Blackman and nobody because they were all hurt except for – and they were Rodemaker. It was Blackman, Rodemaker, and two guys that didn't practice for 3 weeks. That's what you had going into the Georgia Tech game. Good gracious. Anyway, sorry, we're not there anymore. That's the point. Florida State's in a better place, guys.
116 days until the Notre Dame game. We'll do it together, everybody. Day by day, show by show. We'll be here for you. He's Corey. I'm Aslan. Thank you for listening to the show. It's Wake Up War Chant. It's fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee features over 24 different blends. DeLuna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.